Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Novelist Shang-Rei Li is known for his sober depictions of the world as we know it, a family, immigration, war, and that makes his newest novel, On Such a Full Sea, something of a departure. The new novel takes place in a chilling dystopia, a century or so beyond the present, where abandoned post-industrial cities like Baltimore have been converted into forced labor colonies and populated with immigrant workers. China is a distant, mythical memory. Environmental catastrophes have laid waste to much of the world. A cancer-like disease has infected the entire population, and stratification by class and race is more pronounced and horrific than ever. The fate of the world may lay in the hands of one tiny, nervy girl named Fan, an enigmatic and beautiful fish tank diver who jolts the labor colony by running away. Shang-Rei Li has been honored with top literary prizes, including a Penn Hemingway Prize, Dayton Literary Peace Prize, The New Yorker's 20 Writers for the 21st Century, Asian American Literary Award, and was a Pulitzer finalist. Again, the title of the new novel is On Such a Full Sea. The book is published by Riverhead, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Shang-Rei Li back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always a delight to have you here.
Great to be back.
Thank you so much. What led you to this, if you will? Do you, first of all, let me ask you, do you feel it is this book is as much of a departure as people are making it out to be?
Well, I think on the surface of things it is. But in terms of what I, you know, found myself doing day to day at my writing desk, really not at all. I mean, you know, even though, you know, the world that I describe is one that's speculative and imagined, really, it's always the same thing, right? It's always about creating characters and putting them in situations and seeing what happens. In this particular instance, the particular situations that I put this character Fan in are a little different. I found that once you change the context and circumstance of the society, say, or the landscape radically, then other things begin to change about what characters are, what they assume, what they expect of their world and their life. And that's what I found so interesting about it. You know, you just basically take one little detail to the extreme, and that sort of changes everything behind it.
And with that extreme comes the question of what is our future? What is the future of America? What is this view? And what is Fan's relationship to all of these changes, which, of course, that we as the reader think of, we compare what is happening to her to what we live each and every day?
Yeah, of course. I mean, all speculative fictions are essentially about what we fear and worry about now. And, you know, what Fan is discovering as she goes out into this world are things that obviously I'm concerned about. You know, you describe the book and quite well, and it's a society that's riven by class difference and class cloistering, where there's really no mobility between these worlds, and that people are kind of destined to be in them from birth to death, and that's one of the things that you know, that I'm concerned about in our own society. You know, if someone mentioned the idea that my book was ever threatening because it was so familiar, not because
right.
It was this apocalyptic, very different world, which can be sort of fantastical and fun to go through, but rather a world in which we notice too much that there are issues about the environment and issues about healthcare and issues about class. At the same time, I hope it's a book that, you know, is quite thrilling in certain ways. You know, it is an adventure tale, and so Fan leads us through it.
Absolutely, but you have those lines that draw you through familiarity, which I think, again, make it all the more unnerving. You put Fan in one of these labor settlements that is what Baltimore, what it used to be, reborn as Bmore in the novel. How do you think that particular place, that city, is such a good example of what could happen?
Right. I mean, I choose Baltimore, but really I could have chosen among a dozen or so cities around the country, those post-industrial cities,
right,
like Baltimore, like Detroit, like certain parts of St. Louis, you know, Buffalo, Youngstown, Ohio, Trenton here near me, in which we have vast sections of cities and their populaces that have been pretty much abandoned and pretty much left to their own devices, in which, you know, nothing's really happening. You know, the same kinds of degradation and struggle have been going on for decades. And that's something that, you know, that I certainly saw and have been worried about and thinking about, you know, it's to our peril to continue to let these areas fester and die, that we need to address these places and the issues that have sowed the seeds of their disintegration.
And Fan looks to leave. She looks to run away.
Well, she runs away because
for a reason. Yes.
Her boyfriend Reg disappears, and Reg magically, it's found out, doesn't have this same disease that everyone else will inevitably get. In the society of Unsuchafulsi, everyone dies of something called C. But Reg doesn't have that. He's somehow immune, and so she sets out on this adventure to try to find him. She's also, I think, looking for a different way of life and a different sort of consciousness. You know, she's looking to break out of her very regimented, regulated society of the labor settlement, and looking for a different kind of freedom, not just political freedom, but perhaps maybe a freedom of imagination or freedom of being.
And I think that's what I was getting to. The question is, because it that's universal, isn't it, that we all have that feeling at times that we want to break away?
Sure, we absolutely, and that's what pushes our society. That's what pushes civilization. The danger is not when we're suppressed by an obvious totalitarian force, but when we're suppressed by maybe our own comfort, maybe our own lack of willingness to look around and to be aware of the things that are going on in our world.
Right.
And I think that's one of the real focuses of the book, is about a certain kind of willful compliance to things as they are. And that's what Fan, I think, is trying to break out of. And that's what she shows the people back in Beemore through her exploit.
And how there can be love and kindness and decency when the world has pretty much gone to hell.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what we have left, right? I mean, that's one of the, the essential things about humans. No matter what happens, there's always this searching and glimmer of something, you know, better and progenitive, something that's going to lead to a better way. And that's what Fan's, you know, quest really is. It's a search for that better way. She's not expounding it as she goes along. She just does. But the narrator who follows her story is beginning to tell that story to themselves. As I think we all do when we tell stories. We try to tell the story in a way that not just reports it, but is a kind of wish for what might happen.
And you touch on China, obviously, and as I mentioned in the introduction, and the concerns about the power of that country and ultimately the influence.
Yes, and, you know, I think we're all kind of awed by what's happening in China. We read about it in the news and all its, power and might, all its also, the ways in which we fear China. You know, environmentally, that's for one, surely. Militarily, perhaps in the future. But generally, I think we're all wary and very aware of the ascendancy of China. And the flip side of that, of course, is this anxiety and worry about American maybe stagnation and decline. And I think that's part of what came into the book for me as an American. This idea that maybe our society, our empire, is declining in some way, whether economically or spiritually, soulfully. That's, I think, one of the interests of the book.
The book is so exquisitely written, and it's just beautiful. It's On Such a Full Sea. It is published by Riverhead. Shang-Rei Li, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much. Best of luck with the new novel.
Oh, thanks so much.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, On Such a Full Sea, it is published by Riverhead. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.